everyone, and welcome to episode 559 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How's it going this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing super well, actually. We got some interesting stuff to talk about today, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We got another co-host in Krim. Good morning, Krim. How's it going?
Good morning. It's going all right. My Broncos dumpstered the Cowboys, and the Kings got obliterated by the Lakers, so I'm sad.
I hate to say this, but the Broncos might actually be good. It's a weird feeling because I'm used to them just kind of like not being good, but they might actually kind of be good now. Yeah.
Don't jinx it.
Anyway, today we got some interesting topics to talk about. We're going to start off with some standard news. We had a big standard tournament over the weekend. Attendance, interesting. Banning's coming up in 2 weeks. How do we fix Standard? What's going on with Standard? We also got Wizards Q3 earnings this week and some interesting comments from CEO Chris Cox about how Magic's doing, where Magic is going, and then a bunch of smaller pieces of news, like Cube coming to Arena and rules changes in Commander. So that's the overview for today. Before we get into it, though, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment when your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Heavy Play, advanced gaming equipment. The RFG Deckbox Max features a clear window to showcase your commander while protecting your deck. Available in three different sizes to fit all of your decks, including your standard and commander decks, the Equip Mag system lets you attach an optional dice box or even multiple decks together. Head over to heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish or use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting this show. And let's talk some Magic, and let's start with Standard. So we had Showcase Series Spider-Man, I guess that is the name of it, but our latest Showcase Series event, it was a Standard event. Richard, what went down in Baltimore this weekend in Standard?
Exciting news, if you're an Is It Cauldron player. So there's a couple stories coming out of this. So it's a Spotlight Series. Attendance was around 550 people, which is down from around 1,500 earlier this year. And Cauldron was only 30% of day one, but 52% by the end of day two. It was basically a two-deck meta. 50% Cauldron, 20% Mono Red. The next deck was Dimir Midrange at 5%. These are day two numbers, by the way. And then just this, you know, some random sprinkled
little
in there,
1%ers in there, yeah.
But you know, if you weren't playing Cauldron, you weren't taking it seriously, and attendance being way down is kind of a big indicator, because kind of all of this, you know, keeping Cauldron around was to not disrupt the sweaty players. You know, you didn't want to like take their decks out from under them before the events, but audience participation down. How do you count this? Yeah. If you're at 500, it used to be 15. Are you down 60%? Or how do you divide these numbers when they give you the numbers? Like, you were only a third of what you used to be. So you're down two-thirds, I guess.
And that's from like January of this year. We're talking 9 months or something. So we're not talking about like, oh, GP Vegas in 2015 at 4,000 people. We're talking like Spotlight Series or Foundations in January. And then even at a modern one over in Europe in March that had like 1,400 some people. So it's really dropped off hard since then. I feel like the attendance, it's not surprising, but it's also not good, right? Like, when it comes down to it, people want to play Magic. And if you're not able to get people to want to play the game, I feel like that's a pretty major problem. But at the same time, Wizards telegraphed banning in 2 weeks, a month and a half ago or something. Like, whenever they posted that thing about Vivi being banned, we know what the format's like. Every tournament we have just reconfirms that Izzet Cauldron is the tier zero deck. The only decks that really have a chance of keeping up with it are, like, red decks that are pretty specifically designed to target the Cauldron decks. And I think it was, like, a Rakdos aggro mono red deck that ended up actually winning yesterday. But still, I mean, we're
you
getting
mean
bannings,
Leyline,
right, Krem? There's no way that we're not getting bannings out of this, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, we're 100% getting bannings.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much determined, right? Like, quite a while ago. Personally, I still think it should be Cauldron, but I second off. I am now pretty sure, from the way it looks, they have to know that Dimir Midrange is going to go to the top again. So I think we're probably going to get more than just, like, you know, Cauldron Vivi. We're probably going to get something from, like, Dimir. I hope it's not Kaido. I think Curiosity is just not offensive enough. But then what else are you cutting from the deck otherwise, right?
It reminds me of the Rakdos midrange problem a couple years ago, right? Where you're like, well, it's kind of just a pile of, like, the really good cards in their colors. So what do you ban? Blood Tithe Harvester? You ban Fable the Mirrorbreaker? And finally, they ended up really taking the hammer to it, right? And getting Evoke Despair and Fable and Reckoner Bankbuster. I would lean towards maybe Enduring Curiosity, I guess, or Kaido. Like, those are the two, like, four of big engines. I guess you could mean, like, Flood Pits Drowner or Deep Cavern Bat, but that kind of seems silly to me. I don't know.
Deep
we got,
Cavern
what,
Bats
seven bannings last time. Do you think we should expect that again? Like, is this going to be another huge shakeup? Like, I assume you got to focus on Cauldron. You got to get rid of Vivi and or Cauldron, maybe both of them, whatever. Like, something to really make sure that deck's not a problem. Do you think Mono Red is a problem? Like, is Mono Red, technically, if you look on the Goldfish metagame page, out of the last month, there's actually been more Mono Red decks than Izzet Cauldron decks doing well in tournaments, although that is in part because of Izzet Cauldron, because that's, like, the counter to Izzet Cauldron. Do you think that Mono Red is actually too powerful and needs to be dealt with? Or do you think this is a product of how strong the Cauldron deck is, and this is the only deck that realistically keeps up with it?
I think it is a product because of how good it is against Cauldron, right? You have, like, they're playing very specific hate pieces, right?
Yeah.
We're talking, like, we're now seeing whatever that steaming viper poop card, whatever.
Yep.
The one that pings whenever you cast a three or less. You know, you've got Razor Head, Needlekin. These are very specific cards. And I do not think that, like, again, I don't think Mono Red needs a banning. At this point now, we have banned so many things from Mono Red. It's just held up, like, just with, like, bruises all over itself saying, I can do this all day, just barely. But I do not think we need to ban anything else from Red. Red is so fair now. And personally, I'm going to be really sad because I love Kaido and I love Enduring Curiosity. And I think these cards are insanely fair. But I have to imagine it's one of those two as well. Okay, so let's just say they pick something a little off the top of every deck. Does Red even, like, what is it? Screaming Nemesis if you take something from Red? But Screaming Nemesis is so slow against the decks, right? Like, it is good. It is a very good card. And it sounds that I'm like, it sounds wild to say that it's
too slow.
Too slow. It seems fair.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I know Doomwake did a video a week ago or so talking about, like, his takes on Standard, when he thought needed a change in Standard with the upcoming B&R. And his feeling was, essentially, and I'm just, like, kind of summarizing it, but the big takeaway I got from the video was, he saw the problem with Standard is there's so many decks that are essentially some form of, like, turn four combo deck where it's like, I'm going to put Omniscience into play. I'm going to pop off with Outcaster Trailblazer and cloning it on turn four. I'm going to do my big mono red win the game turn, or Izzet Cauldron. And, like, that's kind of the issue with the format, which I think is kind of true, but also kind of funny, because I feel like we had the same problem, like, 6 months ago, but it was with turn three instead of turn four. So in some ways, turn four is, like, a little bit better than the, you know, the pre-banning when Mono Red was so dominant with Monstrous Rage. But my question for you is, Richard, and I might need you to talk me down off this a little bit, but is this problem fixable? I keep coming back to, like, I really can't shake the feeling that we're going to ban some cards, and then in 2 or 3 months, we're going to be in the same exact spot, and I'm having a hard time shaking the feeling that this is just what 3-year standard is. And if we're going to have 6 or 7 sets a year, and there's going to be 3 years of sets, and there's going to be 4,000 cards in standard, the Wizards essentially recreated Extended. And if you look at Extended, that was a format where the broken cards rose to the top and eventually ended up killing the format because they sunset it for Modern because people just really didn't want to play Extended. Did they accidentally, like, recreate Extended and all the problems with Extended? And are these problems even fixable? Can we ban our way out of this, or are we just doomed to do this until there's more structural changes?
Yes, you banned 30 cards, Seth. So the problem is the power level is too high, right? Like, you have cards that are printed into Standard that become Modern staples, like Quantum Riddler, right? So you ban a bunch of stuff, and all the stuff is still here, right? You're still dying to Omniscience. You're still getting, like, super outvalued town by a Riddler. You can't really fix it unless you just, like, lop it all off, right? And, like, isn't it sad that we're saying a 3-mana 3/3 haste that, like, stops life gain and, like, reflects damage is, like, too slow?
That's insane. Yeah.
It is too slow, right? Because you're playing essentially Modern or Legacy now, right? Where if you don't interact with me on turn 4, you're dead, right? So there's no amount of aggro that will get there unless you're, like, the most hardcore aggro decks, which we had. And then we banned, right? Like, we had the most hardcore aggro decks because those actually got under the combo decks and would, like, stomp all over midrange. We're like, it's too much. We cut that out. And now we're back into, like, this combo-y meta. And if you want to grind, you can't even grind because we got Riddler and, like, I played 3 standard games this week, guys. I'm an expert now. So 3 paper standard games. Each game cost me $70.
With the Rakdos deck?
Yes, yes. And I played against Vivi, okay? I lost all the games and I did not see the combo once. I did not see a single cauldron. And the one I dispatched a 1 Vivi, but another Vivi killed me, right? Because they're just like, here's my 1 drop. It's actually Tarmogoyf, jokes, right? It is for 5. You know what I mean? And then they're like, I'm empty-handed. Don't worry. Quantum Riddlers. I'm like, bam, 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 right? I'm like, I like triple Bob for so long, had so many cards in hand, and they still outdrew me. So wow. The power level is just too high, even if you take out all, like, the broken things. And the only way is to reset it or to reset your expectations, right? Like, if you walk into this thinking it's Modern or Legacy, you're just gonna know, like, okay, 5 drop creatures, not a thing, right? 3 drop doesn't kill you on the spot, not a thing, right? We're playing at 1 to 2 mana and we're gonna win by turn 4, and the only way to do that is to play your own combo deck, and then it just needs to be resilient enough to play, like, a sane mid-range game in case you get hated out of your combo, right? Which is what basically all the good decks in the format do. And if you do that, then I guess it's a fine format. But you just got to ban all the power out, right? Like Omniscience, Quantum Riddler, right? Like
all, 2 things. All the power. To Richard's point. I think, Richard, you are now experienced, because, like, I just did a video, right? Should be going up soon. And it is to play, is it just without any VV, any cauldron, any of that stuff? And it, like, I found that is it is still absurdly correct. Right. Like, it's like, wait, well, what? Hold on. I don't even care. I'm never looking for Cauldron or Vivi, right? Like, I just beat you with everything else in those colors. And I think that is, I think, in maybe mid next year, we're going to be back here talking about a new ban list about is it, because I think there is going to be something else busted and with more cards coming out. I do have a question for either one of you also, because do you think, now that we've experienced this, okay, would you be down for them to power down Standard? And when I say power down, I'm talking like, do you think they would overcorrect it? In that, like, now moving into, like, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, I don't know, it's going to be the weakest standard. So once you set your expectations to, like, do this, oh, turn 2, turn 3, you're probably dead or I'm winning, right? Into, like, oh, we're going back to, like, Ixalan.
I mean, historically, that's how Magic has worked, right? Like, if you look at the most broken times in Magic. Go back to Urza's block where you had Combo Winner, and then they super powered it down with like Mercadian Mass and Nemesis like a couple years after that. If you look at after they had Mirrodin being so busted with all the affinity stuff, then we got Kamigawa, which was a very power down and like set. So historically, that's how Wizards manages the game. I'm not sure if those rules apply anymore, though. It is so hard for me to imagine Wizards, because the pressure, like, isn't to make Standard good, it's to make exciting Commander cards, right? Like, that's the problem that Wizards is trying to solve, I think. The problem we might be trying to solve is how do you make Standard good, but I feel like the problem that Wizards is trying to solve is, like, how do we print more Commander cards that people will be excited by and want to play? And I just don't know how you can print those exciting Commander cards with every set being Standard legal now. Down Standard at the same time. So I think it's not going to happen, though. Even though I wish it should. What would the solution be?
You don't design anything for Commander.
Oh,
this is going to be wild, okay? You're just going to make it for a Standard, and then it's just going to naturally go into Commander.
I love your optimism.
Too hot of a take.
Okay, there's a middle ground.
You're right, but yeah,
you
go
can
ahead.
Unpower creep Commander. Because Commander itself is being power crept, it's showing its face in a Standard, right? So go back 10 years, your Commanders cost 7, and they did crazy things, and it didn't matter. It was a 7 drop you would never, you know, it would never see play. Now they're always trying to make 2, 3, or 4 mana value Commanders. And they're beefy. Like, you know, they have like 8 abilities, you know, they have like the Toski, the draw, the whatever. And then they're also randomly like a 5/5 or 6/6 just for lulls. And like that sees its way into 60 card formats because now they're actually castable, right? So if you just go back to when Commander was about playing 6, 7, 8 drops, right? Then like half the cards wouldn't bleed into the format, right? So it's just a general, you know, a general overall power creep that's doing this. And then Commander getting like so fast is affecting Standard because the cards see play. Like if they were like, Vivi, we want to make you Commander All-Star, but you're a 5 drop, probably never see it in Standard, yeah. Right? But because it's a 3 mana value spell, you're going to see it. So I have a question for you guys, though. I talked with Seth before cast about this, but like, why does everyone want high power level? Like, I don't understand why we don't just play low power level. Is it just the mid-range player in me? Like, you don't want to like have blockers matter and like combat and like grind out card advantage? You're just like, do you have the answer? No, I win. Wow, what a fun game of Magic the Gathering, right? Like, I don't know why we need such high power level everywhere across the board. Like, what's wrong with low power level, Krim?
I mean, I think this is one of those things where it's kind of a curse here in a way that like, yo, hey, high-powered cards sell. They are interesting. They're intriguing. They're super hype. And then the problem here is in practice, it's kind of like, oh, God, it's bad for the game. This is too strong, yada, yada, yada. So I think the idea of something super powerful, super busted, is very appealing to everyone until you actually play it. And that is kind of the problem here. They probably want to sell, like you had mentioned, like make it seem appealing for Commander and whatnot. And then because of that, it's just too, I don't know. I think it's just too busted. Everything is too busted. And the idea of powerful cards sell, and that's the problem. And the other part of this that's kind of weird is that if you're getting into Magic now and you play Standard and all of that, you're used to this power level. So I imagine once you've conditioned yourself to this power level, and then we roll it back to the Stone Ages where we're getting 2 mana 2/2s or something like that, vanilla, those players are going to quit and drop out of the game, right? Because I had a discussion with somebody in my Discord who started in the original Eldraine. And they thought that was like just everyday business, right? And I'm like, no. That's not how everyday business goes.
I partly blame the community on this. Yes, Wizards wants to print powerful cards because they sell packs. I think that's undoubtedly true. But we're the ones buying those cards, right? We're the ones that are getting hyped and, like, excited for them. So I think players also like powerful cards, at least in theory. Like, they like seeing the spoiler and thinking, oh, my God, that card's so busted and it can do such cool things. Once you actually start playing with the cards, then sometimes the mood sours on them, as we saw with Corey Steelcutter or we're seeing with Vivi now. Like, once you actually have that experience of playing the same thing over and over and over again. But I think that there's an incentive for Wizards to print them to sell cards, and because that's kind of what players want is those exciting cards. I don't know how you can power down the standard, though. Like, in 3-year standard, how would you power this down? Let's say you decided today that standard is too powerful. You design a set that's going to come out in 2.5 years that is less strong, and that set's going to have to compete against 3 years worth of really busted cards that you printed before that. Like, it's the Modern Horizons problem. Like, sometimes, like, wow, they could take Modern and they could just, like, never print a Modern Horizons set again, and that'll keep them from printing as many super busted Modern Horizons cards. But then that also sort of locks the format into 3 sets of really busted Modern Horizons cards forever. So at this point, I'm almost like, you almost have to keep printing Modern Horizons. Or else, like, you already created the problem, and that problem's just going to exist forever. So I don't know if it's possible. Like, how would you even go about trying to practically power down 3-year standard? I think you got to change rotation back. I think you got to go back to not having 3 years worth of sets. Like, that.
No, the problem is not
the cards. The problem is we have so many cards in the format that that's causing the power spike. Like, yes, there's some cards that are outliers, but the real problem is you got 4,000 cards in the format. So you have a lot of really busted stuff in there together that doesn't leave.
I mean, okay, you're right. There's a lot of cards, but I still, this is kind of the problem with the execution of everything. They roll out this 3-year standard and they don't force a bigger rotation. Personally, I would have rathered that, right? Like, everything that needs to rotate out. And I want Wizards, I want to play in whatever Wizards imagine that this 3-year standard to look like. Right. And so that doesn't have OTJ, that doesn't have all this stuff. Right. So we're somehow 3 years or a year later. I don't know how long it's been.
I think
we're
we're
still in the awkward growing pains of this because they decided to leave a bunch of stuff that wasn't supposed to be here. I want to see that lobbed off and then I want to play it and then form an opinion on it. But for right now, I do not want to roll back yet. We waited this long. We're, like, right there. And I know this could be, like, you know, the sunk cost fallacy.
So
but, like,
hope.
I want to see. I just want to see what it looks like, though. Don't you? Because I do.
I mean,
I
just
see
the
what
last
it looks like,
six really. Months is so rough, right? Like, I don't know if I want to go through. Like, how long do we have to wait? Do we have to go through another year or two of just, like, Cutter into VV into no one shows up to play standard and everyone complains about, like, will the format survive that? Is it going to survive this 3 or 4 year long transition to get to what Wizards was trying to get to? And I would say I 100% agree that they should have done it in a different way. Like, if you are trying to get here, like, at some point the juice isn't worth the squeeze, right? Like, if you got to go through this much chaos and this many bannings and this many people not showing up to events, at some point you got to be like, huh, maybe we should have done that in a different way or something.
They fixed this all incorrectly. And it's easy to say that in hindsight, right? But, like, what is the goal was to get people to play paper standard. And turns out if the game is crappy, no one is going to play. Doesn't matter if you can hold on to your cards for, like, 8 years or it rotates tomorrow. It doesn't matter, right? Like, the game is not balanced. It's not fun. And it's expensive. Okay? None of these make me want to go play. Right? Like, I don't care if standard rotates every, like, literal set if a new deck costs $20. Doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, oh, is it Cauldron? Throw it away. Buy this new $20 deck. I'm good to go, right? I'm willing to do that if the game is good, right? I'm willing to spend more money. Maybe it's not $20. Maybe it's $80. Maybe it's $100, right? If it's good. But if it sucks, I'm not going to do it. And I feel at the end of the day, standard gameplay kind of sucks. And it's super expensive. And they're trying to fix this with ways that don't really address any of this. You can use your cards longer, but I don't even want to play with my cards longer. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, imagine if you could play Is It Cauldron for the rest of eternity. Would you want to? I'm like, nah, I think I'm good. Right? Yeah. So they got to address the core parts, which is standard is not balanced. It's not fun. And it's, like, super expensive. Before they address the, like, tertiary complaints of, like, oh, my cards are rotating too fast or whatever, right? So, I don't know. I say scorched earth. Just, like, depower everything. Standard will suck for a year or two, but then you know, through the ashes, the new seeds will grow, the you know, and then like we'll fix Standard going forward. But if you keep trying to support this like bad system, you're just going to have bad Standard for a very long time. So
yeah,
scorch it down. We already have our high power. Like we're already complaining Modern's too high power, right? Like we need a low power format somewhere. Let's call it Standard. You can have all the high powered people migrate to the other formats and then like start anew, right? Like low power, easy to get into. Remember Standard was the way you got into Magic the Gathering? Like,
yeah.
Good luck. Look how much text is on the cards. Look how much power is on the cards. Look how much you got to be aware of, right? Like just power it down. It's a 2/2 vanilla. Look, there's nothing, right? A 2-mana 3/3 beater. Very powerful, very easy to grasp, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would love to see Standard power down. I don't know if Wizards has the ability or the desire to actually make that happen, but I do think that would be our best, probably our best. I mean, I still kind of want them to go back to a different rotation, but I think that would be our best short term.
What do you think about
way
this?
To get out of that?
What's the next set? Star Trek. So Star Trek, the chase card, the serialized card, is a 2-mana 4/4. That's it.
Oh God. Oh
it's
God.
A 2-mana 4/4 vanilla, and that's like Spock or something, right? And that's the chase card of the set, and like that's as high powered as you get, and you're banking on the fact that it's Spock to sell the card. This sounds like it's totally gonna flop set, so I have no idea how they're gonna power down anything. Think,
that sounds really, really bad.
I mean,
but that's how you have to do it, right?
I think it's what you mentioned earlier, though. Actually, it's probably a better way to do it. I don't think you can print vanilla Spock because no one's gonna care about vanilla Spock, but you could print 6-mana Spock, 7-mana Spock. Like, you can put a lot of power into commander cards that are 5, 6, 7 mana. We had Gavin saying that this week with the Game Changer list, where they were like, took a bunch of expensive stuff off the Game Changer list, because their logic was basically, well, if you're spending, you know, 7, 8 mana on a spell, it's going to be powerful, which, yeah, it is going to be powerful. So I think that would be the way to go about it, is, like, focus the commander power there rather than on low mana value stuff. But I don't know if that's even going to happen at this point. I'm feeling kind of hopeless. But anyway, if we go back to Standard, give me your ban predictions before we move on to something else. Like, something from the VV deck, obviously. VV or Cauldron, we can debate which one. Maybe both of them.
Both.
Beyond that, what else would you put on the list then, Krim? You mentioned Demir. Is there anything else that... Omniscience, anything like that? Is that a problem? Are we concerned about that? Or is it safe enough? Also, it's so hard to know, like, with Cauldron being so dominant, like, yeah, I think Demir will rise up. I think Mono Red will get worse. But we really don't know what the meta is going to look like, because it's just been utter domination of Cauldron since August or whatever.
It's as if you needed a full team of people that test all the time and can test a post-ban format before they do it. I wonder how we could ever accomplish such things. Instead, we're going to do the thing that Wizards does, which is sit here and speculate on, like, random. Like, everyone's always like, wow, you guys are so bad at, like, ban list predictions. And I'm like, yeah, we sit here for an hour and just talk random smack, right? Like, that's not our job to balance the form. I hope Wizards doesn't do it like this, right? I hope Wizards is actually putting in hundreds and thousands of hours, like, testing it. Yes, they're supposed to be a lot better at this than us, but I feel they kind of just do what we do. Or worse yet, they don't even do it. They're just like, I listened to a podcast, guys. These goldfish guys said this. Let's do this. Like, no, don't do that. So someone should have sat down and tested this and had a real answer. And it's got to be both Vivi and Cauldron, minimum. I think if you just ban Cauldron, it's not enough. I think Vivi is still insanely broken. Not as broken as it is today, but still broken. I would start taking out all the cheese kills, right? So, like, Omniscience. Jeez, yeah. I sound like such a mid-range player. Leyline.
Laser deck, maybe, yeah.
Wait, but like, do you not want a combo deck in Standard?
Nope.
Really?
I feel okay. Most Standards did not have a combo deck.
That's
right? In the history of Standard.
There's like,
right?
Against the odds.
Splinter
ones,
Twin
as
was
far as tier decks, yeah.
There was literal
if you
Splinter
want a combo
Twin
on turn 7 with like a lot of setup and like a lot of mana, go for it. But I don't think the game should be ending. No matter how poorly I play, if I interact with you, the game should not. If I don't interact with you, the game should not end on turn 4, 5, or 6. If I play like one or two chump blockers, the game should not end. And combo decks like violate that, right? They're like, I don't care what you're doing. If you don't have the correct answers for me, like, you're dead on the spot. I don't think that belongs in Standard. maybe they want that in standard, but I do think a lot of the problems are because of these combo decks. And for the majority of standard, we did not have combo decks. So I would go back to that.
I would say that, honestly, these combo decks wouldn't be a problem if the answers weren't so good. And you know what? Here's a card that is kind of wild. It's a $5 uncommon Into the Flood Maw. Most of these commons all have blue, and that card answers any of the hate that you would have, right? Because, yes. I mean, what is it? Corey Steelcutter answered whatever you did to stop it with that. And so I think we're at a little bit of an imbalance in that, like, yes, the reanimation spells or whatever the combo pieces are hyper efficient. It doesn't matter if it's Omniscience or whatever it is, right? There's always something really busted. We have also a Living End deck in standard right now taken off. And so I do think combo should be in standard. But I think combo should have actual hate pieces stick and have to figure out how to work around that. That isn't a one mana catch all, right? So I think right now I like a combo in the standard. So I do not think that maybe Omniscience should go, but I don't know. I think combo should exist.
I'm fine with combo existing, but I don't want it to be top tier. Like, I think combo existing in standard is good if it's, like, tier three or below. Like, I think that's fun to, like, be able to try to put together combos in standard. But it's hard for me to think of any
standard. Isn't that the same as no combo?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how you play Magic. If you're only playing tournaments, yeah, if you're me, no. But, I mean, I think, what is the combo standard that people look back on fondly, though? Like, you mentioned Splinter Twin. I think a Copycat. I think a Wilderness Reclamation Nexus of Fate. Like, those all seem like formats that people really look back on and like, oh, I'm glad we aren't playing that format anymore. Like, I feel like that's kind of the general feeling. Plus, we have so many other formats where you can play combo decks. There's so many combos in Modern and Legacy and Pioneer and Commander that you can play that I think I'm kind of with Richard that I think I kind of just want Standard to be really, like, maybe not really, but fairly low powered, like way lower powered than it is today. Like, we have so many really strong formats. I think it would actually be a positive to have Standard be kind of what I think it was before at various points, is like a low power format that people can like learn the game on and like actually have games that last a few turns.
I think that's gonna be
okay.
Aggro is a combo. See, when aggro is too good, it's essentially a combo deck, and no one likes that crap either, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Then you get like, this infect discussion.
If I see 1-2-3 curve, and it's the right cards, you dead no matter what you do. That's a combo, right? And people don't like it when I say it, but it kind of is, right? So, and people don't like those decks either. So we're just forced to play grindy midrange, apparently. How did we like all of our Celestia midrange and Simic midrange formats? Because apparently that's okay. Where we're at, right? That's what we like. Dimir midrange all around, Krim. Are we good with this?
I personally am. But second, I do not think that if this becomes no combo and super weak standard, we still have really strong control answers. And then control is the only deck in the archetype. I don't mind that either.
Oh, that's a pretty bad format, too.
I feel like the issue is, like, if it's too combo-y, then you have to play blue to have a chance to stop the combos. And now we end up in a format where, like, yes, you can kind of mid-range your control, but if you look at the meta, it's like, it's all blue decks, right? If you want to be mid-range, you have to be some sort of Dimir, Jeskai, or Simic mid-range so you can have the answers to the combo decks. So it's either, like, be mono-red and just go as aggro as possible, be a combo deck that tries to like combo off as fast as possible, or be a blue deck that tries to stop the combo deck from comboing off. And to me, that just feels like Legacy or Modern. Like, it doesn't feel like what Standard is supposed to feel like to me. Like, that feels like an eternal play pattern.
Can we go totally like off the rails? Can we design our way out of it and just give every color counter spells?
Oh, God. I mean, Force of Red has standard, a counter please. Spell. It's called Burn Spells to your dome, right? Like, I mean, I think that there, because also don't forget, Foundations is still here for 5 years, right? If we do all the axing that we're talking about, we're now like 700 bans in, right? And removal of all these cards, right? Then we go back to the ancient, the old beatdown of Lightning Helix and Boros Charm is still in the format.
Yes, and, there we go.
And we are going to get dumpstered by 2012, like, burn. And then we're going to ban that.
You ban those, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we're like, oh, is Lightning Helix too strong for standard? You know, like, yeah, maybe it is.
Anyway, that's standard. So we know we get the ban list in 2 weeks, basically, November 10th. So we're going to find out the answers to all these questions and more. Let us know what you think in the comments. Pretty confident something's going to change. Whether or not that actually fixes the issues or exactly what, we're going to have to wait and see. But I want to move on because we had another big piece of news this week that I thought was interesting, which is Hasbro reported their quarter three earnings for the year. And the numbers are obviously insane. Magic the Gathering revenue grew 55% in Q3. It's up 49% in tabletop from the year before. Like, Magic is just... it's booming. Like, the revenue's up. It's making so much money. It's doing well in tabletop. It's doing well in digital. It is just in every way, Magic is absolutely crushing it. They made Wizards in specific over 250, I want to say, million this year in operating profit just from Wizards themselves. But the interesting part about this for me wasn't just the numbers. I expected the Magic numbers to do good, but there was a conference call with the CEO of Hasbro, Chris Cox, where he took questions from investors, and Magic is the biggest topic. It's so funny because like 10 years ago, I listened to these conference calls and you'd be lucky if Magic was like in a list of names where they're listing like the games that they owned or something. And now like half of the questions were specifically about Magic or Universes Beyond. It is like the biggest thing going in Hasbro. And some of the stuff that Chris Cox said, I thought was pretty interesting. So we learned that SpongeBob was one of the best-selling secret lair drops in the history of the secret lair drop series. Chris Cox, they asked him about, like, how do you get these IPs? And he essentially said, we're Magic. These other IPs don't really have access to the trading card market, so we can get essentially any IP that we want to. I think his quote, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it was something to the extent of, if you can conceive of it being a Universes Beyond crossover, we've probably already inked a deal with that, or we're in conversations to ink a deal with that. So they're going full out with the Universes Beyond stuff. He also said that they believe one of next year's sets will match or beat Final Fantasy, because an investor asked them, like, hey, you made all this money and you're saying next year is going to be even better. Like, how do you do that if Final Fantasy is your record-breaking set? And he was like, yeah, we're just going to beat it. One of next year's sets is going to be even bigger than Final Fantasy. What do you guys make of this? Like, good news that Magic is crushing it. A little different than maybe the enfranchised player feelings on social media, I would say. But what do you make of all these comments from Chris Cox and the finances?
At some point, you and Richard will have this conversation about numbers and percentages and things going up, number go up. But it is now just an arbitrary number to me, right? Because it's just like, yes. Okay. Yep. Like, so I have no actual, like, I no longer grasp how big Magic is, right? Because to me, it's already monstrously big. And we as a Magic community, like anything that gets popular or mainstream, we are now going through the growing pains of what it is to essentially have your hobby sit in the mainstream. And I think we're like, yeah, all these numbers going up, sure, that makes sense. The question is, will this affect the quality of the game, right? And that is because at this point now, I am worried if, like, is it just going to be six sets a year, or is this number slowly going to go up? Are they, like, you know what I mean? Like, that is my concern, right? I don't care if we're mainstream. I don't care about a lot of this stuff. I care about the gameplay and the quality of it. And so I am worried because now we are mainstream, we're going to do the other TCG release cycles. And I don't want to keep up with that. So
good news and bad news on that from listening to these earnings calls. So they did mention offhand that 2027 was supposed to be six sets. So in theory, it's going to be less sets in 2027 than in 2026. On the other hand, the CEO was also very giddy about having more sets because they're like, how are you going to make more money? He's like, well, we make more sets, we make more money. I was like, yeah, I guess that's true. So he also seemed to be very, very happy about the fact that there's more and more sets, because the more you make, the more money you're going to pull in.
And second on that, like, to piggyback what if you were talking about and what I guess the CEO said, I think it's obvious that it's Star Trek, right?
I was going to ask you that.
No.
It blows my mind that they would even say that any of next year's sets could rival Final Fantasy, because I'm just not seeing it. Like, maybe The Hobbit would be the closest I could think. Maybe they're still betting on Marvel, which I could see that bet, like, 6 months ago.
I don't really like
Marvel.
I think it's gonna ruin my immersion. So I'm not a fan of Marvel. I don't like that stuff.
I feel like it's a harder bet to make now after Spider-Man did not go over super well. It's hard for me to think that next year it's gonna do better than Final Fantasy, but
you gotta read between the lines. So this was like the most optimistic you've ever seen. It was like Chris Cox just went 10-0 in Swiss, okay? Like,
he's
riding
so
the high.
Happy.
And he's like, look, doesn't matter what's going to happen. We just top deck the answers. We're going to get there, right? Like, they are so unbelievably optimistic, right? What does this tell me, right? This tells me that Spider-Man A did not tank their numbers whatsoever, right? What does this mean, really, right? Does it mean that Spider-Man was just like 10% below Final Fantasy? You know what I mean? And like, it's so close to Final Fantasy that they are so sure that, you know, without all this negative online sentiment, like they would just crush Final Fantasy and they just need to make a couple adjustments, right? We see inventory in stores, but maybe Spider-Man just had 5x to print run of like Final Fantasy or something, right? But they are so optimistic and I kind of believe them, you know, like it doesn't really make sense for them to lie about things like this, but they have their pick of IP partners to work with now, right? Whereas before, we're like, oh, could they get this? Could they get that? You know, like, oh, are they big enough? It sounds like they are the ones, like, bullying people in the negotiation rooms, right? Like, they have their pick. They are confident that they can keep the train going. You know, if I made a set that flopped and got, like, 10% of the sales of the previous set, I would not have such confidence, right? So that tells me Spider-Man is not as bad as people believe. The only asterisk here, right, because Spider-Man doesn't reflect on their sheet because they sell it to distributors. Distributors bought it all up, and then Wizards has the money, right? So even if the distributors are sitting on rotting inventory, it doesn't reflect on Wizards immediately, right? Yeah. But this sounds like the, you know, we're about to enter hyperdrive or whatever, right? Warp speed ahead, right? We're going, right?
He was literally, I don't know if you listened to him actually talking about it, but he was just gushing about how, like, every time we do a Universe of Beyond set, it breaks records, it has more searches, it has better sales in retail, it's better sales at gas stations, in every way, it's the greatest thing ever. And then he was like, and I really believe we're still in the early innings of Universe is Beyond, and there's just so much more we can do with this. So it is exactly full speed ahead with all that stuff. And from their perspective, at least, it is working. And they didn't really get into Spider-Man numbers in specific. And like you said, it's hard to really parse that out with how distributors have to order early. And it might not filter in until future sets where people are like, well, Spider-Man didn't sell as well, so maybe my LGS is going to order less of whatever, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, based on their experience with Spider-Man. But it's not going to be reflected right away. But by every number they have, it sounds like Magic is just killing it. They also heavily implied we're getting a K-pop Demon Hunters set. Like, there was a question
Secret
about
Lair, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be a set or a secret lair.
Dude, that would be like, that would be literal aftermath. There's like maybe 50 cards you could make for that movie. Like, there's no way you do a whole set.
So maybe it'll be a secret lair drop, but I know they talked about how, like, Mattel got the rights to do the toys, but they have the rights to do the trading cards and all this other stuff, and said something to the extent of, if we can get people to buy SpongeBob cards and be excited for those, we got to be able to do it with the biggest movie of all time, which is apparently K-pop is like the biggest Netflix movie they've ever done or something. So it sounds like we're definitely getting K-pop Demon Hunters in some form, be it a secret lair or set, but it sounds pretty confirmed to me.
That is mind-blowing to me that is the biggest movie of all time or whatever. Wait, really? Because, all right. Obviously not my cup of tea, right? I'm not a K-pop person. I don't like the industry practices when it comes to that side of music. The movie had cute animation. It was funny, right? Like, here and there. But, like, you know, turn my brain off, that kind of stuff. Is it that big of a movie? Like this sounds like they're fast-tracking. Because this movie just came out, right? Like,
they sound very excited about it. So this has to be based on, like, Netflix views. So based on that, I don't know if that actually beats, like, the biggest theatrical release of all time. But I think it was, like, the most viewed Netflix movie, which is what he was trying to refer to.
Okay.
I'm gonna trade in my nerd card. K-pop Demon Hunters, 9 out of 10. Avatar. Ooh. I've watched one season and, like, four
Richard,
or five of the next season.
Richard, Don't
six.
Say it.
Six out of ten. Maybe if I was a 10-year-old child, I would enjoy it more, you know. But I'm like,
Richard.
I'm not feeling this. I would for sure play K-pop Demon Hunter Secret Lair over Avatar. I resign.
Bro,
guys.
What?
I watched some Avatar over the weekend too, because I said I would before spoiler season, and I thought it was fine. I didn't come away feeling like, oh my god, this is like
wait, how much did you watch?
Show. I watched six episodes. I'm six episodes into the first season, so that's how far I'm in so far.
The first season's like, meh, it's fine.
That is what everyone says. Once you get to season two, it gets really good.
They're lying, Seth. I made it there. It's still kind of the same.
I don't know if I'm going to watch
Seth, for next week, you got to watch K-pop Demon Hunters to get up with the news.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, you'll like it more than Avatar.
Oh, really?
Because it's a movie. Right. You have to go through like three seasons to get the Avatar. Oh, okay. What children's show is going to be asking the questions that Avatar asks, right? Like, that you would assume this is a kid's show.
So you're calling it a children's show? Because everyone keeps trying to gaslight me into it's not a children's show. I don't like it's clearly a children's show.
What I'm saying is, it's shipped and sold as a children's show, right? But it really doesn't feel that way because it does ask some deep questions that require, you know, like, I think you should watch it all the way through.
Maybe I might not have gotten to the deep questions part.
It's not
it
that deep.
Kind of
a comet like, appears.
No, that's Richard. No, that's
a gross
oversimplification.
You know how existential this is? I was sitting there. I'm like, maybe I'm not a weeb anymore, you know? I'm like, maybe I don't like anime. What was the last anime I actually watched? Like, damn. And then I watched Dan to Dan. I'm like, two episodes in, I'm like, oh, this is fire. Yeah, this is great. I'm still a weeb.
Yo, Dan to Dan?
Right? So I'm like, no, it's just Avatar.
Anyway, so we're gonna find out more about Avatar coming up tomorrow. There is something else I want to ask you about, Richard. We're gonna do a Commander Clash podcast, which I believe is coming out tomorrow, where we're gonna delve kind of deep into this with the crew. But Richard, you're not on the podcast, and we got some Commander news last week, and there was a bunch of changes to brackets and stuff coming on and off the Game Changers list. So you can look over on the site or listen to the Commander podcast tomorrow. But what I want to ask you about, Richard, is they asked for community feedback on a few things. Should we ban Rhystic Study? Should we ban Thassa's Oracle? Should there be another bracket? But the one that caught my attention the most is something I've been asking for years, which is essentially, should we fix hybrid or change how hybrid works in Commander? So Kitchen Finks, for example, is currently thought of as being white and green. Should we change it so it's considered to be white or green, which would let you play Kitchen Finks in a mono-white deck, a mono-green deck, a Selesnya deck, a three-color deck with white or green, a whole bunch more decks. Richard, what do you make of this? Because I've been hard yes on this for a long time.
Oh,
the community,
really?
Though, seems to very much
be
like...
Oh, you seem like someone who likes
wait,
to
Seth,
Avatar, then.
Seth, Mr. Feed the Swarm is the problem. You are okay with this?
I've been pushing for the hybrid change for years. I've been arguing with people this
that's
for like
crazy.
10
that's just
now,
making
a
like
time.
Like 200 Feed the Swarms. Okay, like there's a reason these cards are hybrid because they have aspects of both colors, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't have made them. Now, granted, some of these cards are like super weak. Like, you know, it's like
Kiora is like
Rocksteady. Not really sure what's Golgari about. It could have been green, could have been black, you know, but most of these cards have aspects from both colors. So why are we just discarding one and declaring it okay? I'm already upset about Extort. So when the hybrid mana color, you know, doesn't appear in rules text, it's fine. So Extort, you know, since one is white, mono white, allowed to drain people. Suitor Priest, but I don't know why, but you know, like why, you know, so I actually don't like this, and I think it really adds nothing. We have a card pool of like 8 billion cards. Do you need to go add these 200 cards back into the card pool? Like, does it accomplish anything really? Why are they not like doing important things, like actually trying to balance the format, you know? So I don't like this, and I do think it's an egregious color pie break.
I think it's a break. They took a break, Richard, from trying to determine which unset cards would be suitable to allow in bracket one to change the hybrid rule real quick. Really, though, like, yes, it's not going to have a huge impact right now. But it's kind of future-proofing, right, for when we go back to Lorwyn and there's cool hybrid cards there. In
general, this tells me it's WotC meddling. That's what it tells me. You remember when the rules committee went in and allowed silver-bordered cards for like one
for like a month
brief moment in time? Like, Wizards like, look, Lorwyn is coming up. We're
going
to have hybrid mana all over the place. I want you guys to strongly consider if, you know, we should, and you should throw up a poll, wink, wink, and we may or may not get bot farms to vote in our favor, wink, wink. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, right? It seems so sus with the timing of Lorwyn, and the only real benefactor of this is you can sell some super pushed cards in Lorwyn. So I'm putting my tinfoil hat on.
Kitchen Finks and Kitchen Finks. You can play Kitchen
Finks
in your white weenie deck.
Okay. If Kitchen Finks was the only hybrid card to ever exist, this would be fine. You do whatever, right? But like, you know, Beseech the Queen exists. You know, like, and then when you go into three color decks, like, I should not. Again, using Kitchen Finks because that's the last thing that was said. I should not have access to my Kitchen Finks in an Esper deck.
But
even though I know
hurt?
That the design of that is a bit irrelevant, right? Because Kitchen Finks really is just a white card.
Well, what do you gain?
You gain access for more cards. You get to play Boros
because we
Reckoner
don't have. Don't worry, Chris
Kotz
has a plan for you,
Seth.
More cards. We got more cards.
Are we short
cards?
On cards?
I feel, and maybe this is unfair. What do you think of this, Damon? Are Commander players, and maybe it's just Magic players in general, are they just super conservative about Magic? Because I feel like anytime a change is proposed, the argument tends to be, well, we've always done it this way, and we really don't want to change how we've always done it, so we're going to keep it the same. And then a lot of times, if the change goes through, we look back on it a few years later, and we're like, well, actually, that kind of worked out well to take damage from the stack, or it worked out well that you could make mana outside of your commander's color identity or whatever. Like, are we just too hesitant as Magic players or Commander players to allow changes to happen? Or maybe it's a good thing that we're conservative about it, I guess.
Yes, we are hesitant, but also I've liked those changes because they actually benefited the game. Richard asked a great question. What does this do for us when you unlock this? Does it actually do anything different or anything new?
I mean, I would say you get to play more cards and more decks. And in general, I like changes that give players more options. So I would say that that would be the positive, is you just have more options. You have more cards that you can put into your decks.
I am worried that, especially, you know, with where you stand on this stuff, right, with the color pie, I think you are unlocking a much worse thing to take over.
That is fair. If you listen to Wizards, and I know if you look through hybrid cards, you can definitely point out examples of hybrid cards where you're like, what's the Simic hybrid one that you can copy something for 6 mana and then it can retrace it from the graveyard? I can't think of the name right now.
You just played it, right?
I just played it. Yeah, I literally just played it. But that's a card where it's like, should Mono Green be able to clone something? Probably not. That's a little outside the color pie. But if you listen to Wizards describe how they make hybrid, their argument is hybrid cards are monocolor cards for both colors. We try to design them like Kitchen Finks, which could be a mono white card, could be a mono green card. We just happen to smash them together. So I know that color pie breaks do happen in hybrid cards because they don't always hit that mark. But I think their intention is that those cards would be monocolor, safe to be monocolor cards in either of their colors. I don't know if that fixes the issue, but I think that's what Wizards would say.
If you want to talk about removing color identity altogether, that's a conversation, and I feel this like fits in that conversation, but I feel saying it's not color pie breaking is like super cope, right? But if you're like, well, why do we need color pie at all, right? Maybe we don't need color
pie. See, this is where we go after this.
Then, you know, I'm like, that's a legitimate conversation, but to declare these don't break color pie, like, sure, you can find some examples that don't break, but many examples that do. So I'm not sure why, and I'm so shocked. Seth, the hater of Feed the Swarm, wants to introduce like 200 color pie breaking things for no reason. And beware of Lorwyn. The old cards are not that bad, right? Like, we have color pie breaks from, what's that site? Future Sight or whatever, right?
Mm, yep.
Or no, wait. The Time Spiral? Which whatever. The one that like has Damnation.
Plane Shift? Or yeah, Planar Chaos.
Planar Chaos.
So
yeah.
We do have color pie breaks, but imagine if you gave Wizards in 2026. The ability to color pie break for a full set, what chaos it would ensue with 2020, you know, 5 design. It would be ridiculous. And by enabling this hybrid change, you're allowing Lorwyn to go rampant all over Commander, right? Imagine there's like a 3-color One Ring that's like hybrid colorless or something right now, and everyone gets a One Ring, you know, like all these like weird things, I think would be super scary. So I would vote no, but I'm almost positive it's to sell Lorwyn. Like the timing of this is just too coincidental for me.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Like, personally, and maybe this is a little tinfoil hat-y, I'm kind of convinced it's a Tomer poll, and they've already made up their mind what they're doing with this, and they're just asking for feedback, and then they're going to just do what they want to do anyway. Because remember, they made Lorwyn, like, 2 years ago. It's not like they can get the results of this feedback from the community and be like, oh, no, we can't unban hybrid. We better change how we design Lorwyn. We better not put that in our command. Like, it's releasing in a few months. Like, there's no way they can change the cards now, so I think that this is already fait accompli and it's going to be happening no matter what. I don't know. Do you guys think that's true? Guys, do you think actually is a chance this doesn't go through? Or is this just literally the Tomer poll where you get the feedback? So hopefully they say what you want them to say and you can be like, yeah. And if not, you're like, eh, I know what you want better than you do anyway.
Let's not act like hybrid cards haven't just been rolling out, right? And rolling into Avatar. Which, by the way, we've already seen hybrid there. Spider-Man had hybrid. We've been having hybrid mana come back a lot recently. That's probably more to do with that, but I have no idea. The main thing here is I do not want them to break this rule. I want them to keep this one because this only unlocks greater and darker and scarier horrors that could come from this.
So conservative, Krim.
I would say.
This is like the one time I think I'm like not for a rule change.
Here's the thing that I don't buy with that argument. Like, Wizard's going to print the busted cards anyway, right? Like, it's hard for me to be like, oh, if we let them make hybrid cards work in Commander, that's going to lead to anything more broken than we're already getting. Because I think Wizards is very good at printing busted cards. So I'm not sure this change is the one that's going to like somehow put it over the top or be the straw that broke the camel's back or whatever. But maybe it is.
It is a philosophy thing. I think it would be more for design philosophy than it would be power level also, right? At least in my opinion, that's what I think.
It's for immersion, right? Like, why am I draining life in mono white? Why am I cloning things in mono green, right? Like, if you
why am I getting
are
an extra
disappointed
combat
at Spider-Man showing up and fighting dragons, you should be equally disappointed that, you know, like, your colors are doing weird things, right? So it's not power level. It's not really sales. It's like, I don't know, like, cohesion, consistency, don't blow my mind kind of deal, right? And Wizards breaks that all the time, by the way. But to, like, explicitly break that for all cards going forward, because like Krim said, they keep printing hybrid cards, right? It's one thing to have a damnation from like 80,000 years ago that's kind of just like grandfathered in. It's another to keep printing them like every other new set, right? So I feel that's the problem with hybrid. And Wizards clearly does not adhere to the rule of like, well, it could be both colors. They clearly take aspects from both colors and make them like pseudo gold cards a lot of the times too. So they're not even consistent in their own design. So we can't really use that as the excuse.
I actually feel like a lot of them are not color pie breaks for either color. Like, I would say a majority are not color pie breaks, but there's like a minority that I definitely can see, like Kiora, the 3-mana Kiora being mono blue and drawing cards when a creature power 4 graders enter. That doesn't seem right to me. That seems like a color pie break. I know someone from Wizards argued that like blue can draw cards however they want to, so it's really not a color pie break, or someone ex-Wizard. So I guess it depends on your perspective. But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting topic. I've mostly been surprised at how just against it everyone was. Like, it seems like the overall feedback from the community and the videos I've seen and just like the comments, it seems like most people are kind of a hard no on this one.
Well, I would not want mono black to memory plunder me.
Anyway, we gotta wrap things up. We have one fish mail today I wanted to get to because it's on a topic that we didn't get to, and that is from D. Heighted. over at Blue Sky, says the powered cube is coming to Arena. Timeless is expected to gain access to a bunch of more all-stars from Legacy and Vintage. Is there a card that would get you excited to play Timeless on Magic Arena? So, yes, we're finally getting powered cube on Arena. I'm really excited for it. And that is going to mean a lot of older cards coming in. Is there anything in specific that would make you guys really hyped to play Timeless, Magic's, or Arena's Eternal Vintage format? Like, what could they print into that format that would get you hyped for it?
Printed into, brought to Arena and playable are two different things. I would be very excited, and it may already exist, actually. I just learned that Oppo Agent hit Arena.
Yeah.
Because you posted a video about it. I'm like, wait, this is on Arena?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that hit. Which would then mean, is Jace the Mind Sculptor on here?
It was a Bloomburrow. Yes, it came with Bloomburrow. We do have it. It was like Fox Jace or whatever from Bloomburrow.
Surprise, you forgot about Fox Jace.
No, well, yeah, okay then. You know what? I just need Spellstutter Sprite. Maybe Laura would bring that, and then I'll play fairies. Because I think Bitter Blossom's there. I think we almost have everything I need. And that deck will be terrible. I will lose so fast. But
it's okay, Crib. You just put any card in because you're always instantly dying before any of them get passed anyway.
The card I want most is actually Veteran Explorer. I've always loved Nick Fit in Legacy. It's just like, I want my Veteran Explorer. Give me my Cabal Therapy. The power level of Timeless is so off the charts anyway, and it's just such a broken format that I don't think it would actually make the format worse because it's already so over the top. So I think it'd be really fun to have the Nick Fit cards show up and be able to mess around with those. Also, Force of Will. Like, just embrace that we're the broken blue format of Arena and just give us straight up Force of Will.
Is Force of Will not in cube?
So,
did they give you
I
other free
be
counter
in the cube?
Okay. But that's not coming to Timeless?
But not all the cube cards are going to immediately be craftable to play in Timeless. They're going to filter in over time, it sounds like, rather than all just releasing at once.
But why? But why?
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I just talked about depowering stuff, Seth. I don't want to just randomly die to some random cheese on turn two.
I know you're a Tarmogoyf fan, Richard. Have you gotten the experience of playing with like Barrowgoyf or Pyrogoyf yet? Like the Goyfs that they printed in the Modern Horizons 3 pre-cons and didn't make Modern legal?
No.
You might. I'm going to have to send you a deck list and you're just going to have to try it, because as someone who loves Tarmogoyf, they're actually like good Tarmogoyfs that are actually like competitive and actually work in like kind of powerful formats. Like you could actually play like a Legacy Goyf deck or a Timeless Goyf deck and have success with it. So you might actually really like those, because they're kind of a lot like Tarmogoyf, but actually good.
You're telling me I can use incremental card advantage and like disrupt my opponent enough to kill them? Like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Give me the deck list.
I mean, you might have to Dark Ritual them out a little bit and play some Moonrings, but it'll work.
Wait.
That changes everything.
You just use this as fodder for grief. It's like, don't worry.
Yeah, it's great to put you in a pitch to grief. Anyway, that's all the time we got for fish mail. Richard, how do people send in fish mail for next week?
All right, hit us up at MTGGoldfish with the hashtag MTGFishmail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And that brings us to the end of episode 559 of the MTG Goldfish podcast. So Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk Avatar spoilers and whatever else goes on in the world of Magic. So until then, have a lovely week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.